Okay, before we get started this morning, let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning grateful, with praise flowing off our tongues and dripping out of our mouths for your many kindnesses to us. We thank you for your kindness to us in Christ, that you sent him here, that you crucified him, raised him up, and that he now sits at your right hand interceding for us. We thank you for the way in which we're encouraged and inspired to go about kingdom work by sitting under the godly wisdom of so many of the plenary speakers that we hear, between Gary DeMar and Matt Whitling and Douglas Wilson. We thank you for the role that you've given us to play in growing your kingdom, and I pray that we'd go about our tasks faithfully. Be with us here this morning. Make it profitable, and make it profitable for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My name is Gene Lichty. I am the Development Director at Cary Christian School. I'm actually the Marketing and Development Director, and I'll be talking this morning about the fact that you have to do both. If you're that man, if you're that woman, you gotta do both. So I'm the Marketing and Development Director at Cary Christian School in Cary, North Carolina. I have a wife, Kimberly, and four children, a six-year-old, a five-year-old, a three-year-old, and a two-year-old. So we're very busy, and that's why she's not here. We had to travel with the whole family. Peter Bauer and I are sort of doing this together. Peter, right there in the white shirt, he's got his hand up, is the Director of Institutional Advancement for Westminster. And so Peter's responsibilities are larger at Westminster than mine are at Cary Christian School. I'm in charge of helping make sure that applications come in at a good rate and that all the classes are absolutely filled with waiting lists. That's part of the marketing. And then that marketing also helps me in the development side of things. Ultimately, I'm in charge of bricks and mortar, the annual fund, something that Peter talked a lot about yesterday, that type of thing. In gearing up for my role at Cary Christian School, I'm a marketing guy. I've been a marketing guy. I went to college to concentrate on telecommunications marketing. I worked in ad agencies in Philly and New York and traveled around the world for 6 years doing marketing for various companies. When I went to seminary in Moscow, Idaho, I was out there with Douglas Wilson, Matt Whitling, and went to Greyfriars for 2 years. When I was out there, I worked as an associate marketing director for the hospital to pay for, pay our way through seminary, that type of thing. And when Larry Stevenson, the superintendent of our school, who was also a neighbor in Moscow — everybody's your neighbor in Moscow, it's a small town — but he lived in that town as well. When he called me to plant a church in Cary, North Carolina, he knew that I'd need to do some tent making. And so he said, well, we'd like you to, you can teach Hebrew. And he'd say, you can teach maybe literature or English or things like that to help pay your way as God grows a church here. And then when he recalled the fact that I was an associate marketing director at a hospital, he said, okay, I don't want you to teach at the school. He said, I want you to raise money for the school because it's harder to find someone who can do that. And I said, I'm not a development guy. I've never asked anybody for a dollar in my life. I said, I spend money. I'm a marketing guy. You give me a budget of $100,000, I'll spend it all, I promise you. So by God's grace, over the last 3 years, I've been learning much about development. And we've been able to build an $8 million campus, and we're going to break ground on another $3.5 million facility on that 21 acres this spring. But honestly, it's all by God's grace. We've made some mistakes, not colossal ones, but what I'd like to do today is share some of the thimblefuls of information that I have in regard to sort of how we did it, some of the things that we've produced, how we deal with donors, big and small. And hopefully that will be profitable for you. On pages 89 and 90, I have an outline that I'm going to help you fill in as we work through things here. I said that I didn't go to I didn't leave Idaho a development guy at all, but one of the things that I did in preparation for my new task, my new role in tent making in North Carolina as a marketing development guy, was to go and visit someone who did it very well. There's a school in Seattle called the King's School. They've been around for about 35 years. And there's a gentleman there who's been in charge of development. He's been doing development for about 20 years. And he graciously allowed me to trail him for 2 days. So I quick flew from Moscow, Idaho to Seattle, Washington 2 weeks before I flew 3,000 miles to my new home. And I got into his office, and above his desk, he had this logo. It was just gigantic. It was above and behind his desk, went all over the window, and it said, "You do not have because you do not ask." said, "You do not have because you do not ask." And I wrote that down before I even said anything. And I found that to be true. Like all cliches or truisms, there's an aspect of that that is absolutely true. You have to have someone at the helm who isn't afraid to stare someone in the face. Don't lose eye contact with a guy when you make the ask, or you've lost the deal. Don't stammer. First guy to speak after you make the ask loses. That's usually the way it works, something that Peter alluded to yesterday. So that's true. You do not have because you do not ask. But there are a lot of people who ask too early. You can ask all you want to, and if you haven't done a good job with seed work, you're not going to get anything. Or you're not going to get nearly what you would have gotten. I shouldn't say you're not going to get anything. You're not going to get nearly what you could have gotten if you've prepared the ground well and made it fertile for a development director. Now, how many of you in this room, this is about 50% of you or more, were in the room yesterday. How many of you are the development director, for better or for worse, where you're at? Okay. And how many of you are looking for a development director? You're looking for that person at your school. Okay, we'll be talking about that, who he should be and what he should look like in just a couple of minutes. But I thought that I would start really quickly, and we will get to capital campaigns, I promise you. But I don't want to start there, and although Peter covered some really important things yesterday, there are a couple things that I wanted to back up even a little bit further, because there's some things I think I can share with you that you can take in regard to raising the level of visibility, which is what you want to do in your community. You want to raise the level of visibility in order for you to be successful in raising funds. Okay? And one of the things that I want to ask you, it's not even up there, but one of the things I need to ask you to be asking yourselves, for the board to be asking each other, is how does the community perceive our school? Does the community even know that we exist? Like I said yesterday when Peter was talking, and I grabbed the mic just for a second, if you've got the greatest thing since sliced bread, better than sliced bread, how is it that you're communicating this to the community? Because a lot of times we rely solely on word of mouth, and word of mouth is a great method of communicating the school. You've got enthusiastic parents, but it's not enough, and often they can't articulate. They can't articulate it well. They believe in it enough to send their kids there and pay tuition dollars, but when they go to say, "Well, tell me about the curriculum," they can't remember the word trivium. You know, I think there's a grammar stage and that's what we have our kids in, and I believe then it's logic and rhetoric. Well, that doesn't sound too convincing to the community. And so when I arrived, again, if you were there yesterday, I apologize because you heard this in the last 24 hours, but when I arrived in North Carolina, 3 weeks later, I sat down with the board after I got my family settled and the church up and a couple of services. I sat down with the board and I said, "Okay, give me everything you got. Just throw everything on the table. Branding campaigns you've done, ads you have, what kind of promotional materials you have for the school." And there was nothing on the table. And they all just kind of stared at each other. And I said, "Well, I can't." I said, "We have other work to do first then." I said, this is August. I said, "I need 4 months to raise the level of visibility here at this school, and you have to help me do that." And this school already had 400 students when I got there. And so I knew that they had the funds to be able to. It wasn't a matter of not having a couple of dollars to throw at it. They just never thought to do it. And God had blessed the school, and it was growing tremendously anyway. And so they didn't see importance in it. But for me as a development director, it's very important, because I can't overcome the fact that the guy that I'm sitting across from having lunch, and I'm going to ask $20,000 from him, or I'm going to ask him to prayerfully consider what he might give to the school, I can't overcome the fact that he has never heard of the school before. Because everything that I say to him, regardless of what I talk about in SAT scores and how the students are testing and things, all he's thinking in his head is, "Well, why doesn't anybody know about this? And why have I never heard of you before?" And he's going to ask those questions to me. And so you've got to raise the level of visibility of the school. And your job as a marketing or development person, or your job in hiring a marketing and development person, is to get something like, got too many papers here in my hands. Get something like this. This is called our signature brochure. It's a really simple thing. It talks about here you have our mission statement, and here you have our vision. It's very simple. You don't want too much in it. Here it describes in three short paragraphs right here. Classical education, the trivium, in just three very basic grammar, logic, rhetoric. Very simple thing. And here's some of our test scores. This is 3 years old now. That's another thing about this. You don't want to be recreating this every year. You want what we call a shelf life. of about 3 years with this thing because it's too expensive to produce over and over. So you want generic info. Don't put tuition costs in here if you're planning on raising the tuition in the next 3 years. Put a little insert in here that you can take out every year or things. But we wanted to get something like this into the hands of our parents. We had 250 families at the school when I arrived there, and they didn't have anything to hand somebody. And they're very comfortable doing that, but they might not be comfortable articulating it. Now, I spent, we created 5,000 of these. Again, we wanted them for 3 years, and we looked at the sizes of our community, 100,000 people, and we determined that we needed about that many. And I spent about $7,000 in design and printing these. Now, if you're a small school, I run into lots of people here who have schools with 100 student population, 200 student population. You do whatever you can do, but you do something knowing that this is an important thing to do before you start asking for dollars. Another thing that you will want to do is you're going to want to create an ad. Just create an ad, a very simple ad, not too much copy, because if you're going to place it in the paper or wherever you're going to be putting it, you need to have it stand out, and it's probably in rows with lots of other copy, columns of copy. If all you do is, you don't talk too much about it, refer them to your website. Refer them to your website in your ad. Refer them to your website in your signature brochure. The entire back of this brochure is just filled with contact information. It just says, here's our phone number, here's our fax number, here's our website, here's our school address. You need to put those things on that piece, but you don't want your ad or your promotional brochure to be too copy intensive. Just enough to get them to go to your website. We can put as much in. Our website has about 50 pages on it. There's detail in regard to our curriculum ad nauseum. You know, just and everything about, you know, it's just big there. So save that for that spot. And then when you create that ad, you see the arrow up there on the overhead. What you want to do is you want to figure out, and be careful here, you need to use a little bit of wisdom. If you've got a development marketing director, he'll know how to do this. And if you don't know what you're doing, call me. I might, even though I don't know your area, I might be able to get you thinking by asking some questions. We live right outside of Raleigh-Durham. We have the Raleigh News and Observer. Huge circulation. We don't advertise in there. We're in a suburb called Cary, and we have a weekly publication that we put out. And it costs a fraction, and I hit my target. Think about who your target is. Do people really drive more than 10 miles to the school? If they're not going to drive more than 10 miles to the school, or 15 miles to the school, then you don't want to be advertising way out there. It's wasteful, and you're spending a bunch of dollars. I spend about, for our school, I spend about $4,500 a year in ad placement. It costs me about $500 to have my ad created. This isn't expensive. This isn't expensive beyond what most of you can do. Most of you have, you know, if you have a student population of 200 students, what you need to do is you need to take the tuition income from two of those students and you need to invest it in marketing, in designing a piece, a signature piece, and creating an ad, in saving money so you have $3,000 or so for your ad, and you can place it in the newspaper. Your Chamber of Commerce, if you're in a town that big, I'm assuming most of you are, has a directory that it puts out annually. And it's good for a year. They're going to throw the newspaper away. It's good for a year, and they're probably only going to charge you about, I don't know, $200 to $800, depending on the size of your community, to advertise in there. You want to be in that. The other thing about your Chamber of Commerce is it has a listing of schools on its website. You want your website and your address and the name of your school, that's free. They don't even charge you for maybe 10, 15, 20 bucks to list annually. You want to make yourself available. Visitor packages. If you move to Cary, North Carolina, you get a welcome package in our town of 100,000. You want your school to have a little flyer or something that's in there. Be thinking about, am I too loud? Okay. Be thinking about ways and vehicles that are unique to you, Chamber of Commerce and local paper, whatever your weekly is, be in those, and also the surrounding communities, that type of thing. And I talked to you about websites briefly. Make sure your website is visitor friendly. Make sure that when you click on the home page that it doesn't look like some internal site and you're listing a bunch of information there. Make sure you just have a very clean website with a couple little menu items, curriculum, that type of thing, you know, news and events, athletics, whatever you have, just make it simple when they open up. So they're not. If I open up a website and it's got all this information on it, I immediately click out of it. It's just it's too much for me. It's overwhelming, and I usually figure it's internal. I usually think I did something wrong. Make it really simple. Another thing that you really need to be doing, I believe you need to be doing, is writing press releases. Every week, I send a press release to the paper that I have a relationship with because I advertise in there. I have an advertising contract. If you sign a contract for a year, you get a reduced rate. You want, even if, and my contract says that I advertise only twice a month in a weekly periodical. And so I've just got two exposures a month, but having the consistency of being in that paper is important. They see it again, they start to recognize the ad. I create one ad a year, and just with some bullets about who we are, that our distinctives. What makes our school different than Grace, because Grace is only 5 miles away, and what makes our school different than Wake Christian School, they've got 1,000 students, and they're 7 miles away. And then there's Paideia, at 4 Christian schools in a town of 100,000. And we've got waiting lists. And we have waiting lists because they're distinctives that are important to people, and it's my job to communicate those in our ads, in our promotional pieces, that type of thing. But what I do is, now that I have a relationship with the Cary News that comes out weekly, I develop a relationship with the education editor. I let her know that I'm spending $3,000 with her a year, and remind her of it once in a while. And then I start firing off press releases. And I say, come see why we wear uniforms. I'll set up an interview with our superintendent and one of our principals, and they'll tell you what that does for the students and what that prevents as far as problems in our school. Come and sit in and see and take pictures. Bring a photographer of why our students are ask why our students are testing higher than any other students in the county, than any other students in the state. Come and see. I've invited the mayor to read to the kindergartners because they have a reading time every day. Come and take a picture of him. And they come every time. You know why? Because they have an obligation and a big burden of filling space every single week. They'll come. You see other people in the paper and you're like, are you kidding me? Is this news? Such and such a school, they're covering that? They're painting pots for Mother's Day? Yeah. They'll come. And Peter, you want to interject with any... That's right. As Peter was saying, I'm just going to reiterate into the mic, Peter was saying that if you have a very limited budget and you absolutely can't make a commitment, some sort of a commitment or contract with the paper annually, you're going to need to advertise your open houses anyway. And so be careful. Spend your dollars wisely. But you certainly do need to advertise your open houses. That is correct. That's right. Peter just reminded us all that at least put a sign out front that will cost you very little outside a piece of plywood and some paint or however you want to dress it up. Yes, sir. You know, I have this gentleman wondered what I'm repeating these things because we're taping. He wondered what we feel about outdoor advertising in the way of billboards and things like that. I don't have any experience with billboards in regard to the school. I did. We did buy board space, though, for the hospital. That's another. Again, that wouldn't be my first avenue in regard to spending dollars, but it's not a bad one. Be careful about how much drive-by traffic you get. That's an important thing. Placement of the billboard. Again, if you're creating a billboard ad, make sure there's very little copy because you're driving at a fairly fast rate of speed by. So don't try and put all the points and accentuate everything about your school on your billboard. That type of thing at all. You'll create traffic accidents that way. So let me move on here a little bit. So that's about raising the visibility of the school in a community. Important legwork that needs to be done before you even begin to call a development director. But let's say you've done that. Let's say you've done a good job of communicating yourself to the community and you feel like you're in a position where you can hire a Peter Bauer or where you can hire Gene Lichty. And let me reiterate again, if you've been around for a couple of years, if you've been around for 5 or 6 years, and you're a school that's got 200 students, you can't afford not to to have Peter Bauer at your school, because Peter Bauer pays his own way, and Gene Lichty pays his own way. If you're doing a good job of communicating yourselves to the community and presenting who you are, it's going to be easy for Peter to come in and not only raise his own salary in the first year, but triple that. And all the rest of that's gravy for you. And let me talk about who that man is first, or who that person is for a second. I gave something away there. I have seen some ACCS schools in the last couple of years make the mistake of hiring the one they could afford. And the one they could afford was 22. Because he didn't have a wife, and because he was only asking for $20,000 or $25,000. He had just graduated from college with a business degree. And he was sharp. He looked sharp. He looked like he just started shaving, but he looked sharp. And he lasted for about a year, and the school actually lost money. And that's because they didn't hire someone that a donor was comfortable passing a check to. I would argue that your development director will be more successful if he's male. And the reason I argue that is because when I sit down with people, and I sit down with people this summer, I'm sitting down with two or three a week, because I'm trying to raise $300,000 in a couple months here between now and August. And so I'm sitting down with people that I've been cultivating for a while. I'm not sitting down with them for the first time, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But the people that I sit in front of, the guy who's sitting across from me is most often a man. I always invite the wife. But the one who writes the check for $10,000, $15,000, sometimes, you know, $1,000, is usually, in a Christian home, it's the man. And because I'm usually only meeting with one of them, and it's the guy across from me, it's better to have the development director be a man. It's also good to have the development director be someone that's close to the age of your typical donor. If you own a business in the community, if I'm coming after you, if you've risen to my radar screen, there's a good chance you're going to be between the ages of about 35 and 60. And so it'd be good if your development director was between the ages of 35 and 60 as well. Because when I sit down with someone at a lunch, it's only after a half an hour or 40 minutes of talking about everything else. About our kids, about our wives, about the vacation they just took in June because school's out, about his business. Ask him about his business, ask him about how things are going. He needs to be comfortable with me. Your development director has to be able to talk to a pillar. Your development director has to put someone else at ease. Your development director should be someone that other people like to go to lunch with because he's an amicable guy. You don't want to hire someone who's incapable of just having a good conversation and putting someone else at ease. And developing relationships, because that's what we do. That's what Peter does. Peter cultivates relationships. He begins relationships with folks. He maintains relationships with people. That's what I do. I have a great job. You know what I do? I introduce people to the school. My job as a development director is to get people through the door. That's one of my jobs. For folks that don't know much about the school, for wealthy business owners in our community, my job is to introduce them. And my job is easy, because at our school, you can walk in, and I'm never surprised in a bad way by what's going on in the classroom. It smells good in there. The culture is completely different than what you'd have in a public school, because we don't only raise the educational bar, we raise the behavioral bar, to such an extent that people walk in and they're amazed because kids come up after class and thank their teacher for preparing a lesson. Three of the five bankers that I took through in getting a $7.6 million loan now have their children there. And so my job is easy. I take people to lunch. I should be about 450 pounds. Because that's all I do, is I sit around and talk to people and eat. And that's my job. And I get paid for that. It shouldn't be so hard to find development directors, should it? Let's see here. Also, I have on here the contract. Just a couple of comments about a contract. If you want to see a sample contract sometime, then come talk to me afterwards. But I have a two-page job description that the board's given me. And the first page is all marketing. We'd like to be in, you know, the paper this many times. Here's what we'd like you to develop further and all that. And the second page is all development. It's how much you'd like me to bring in. I'm tasked with, for every dollar I spend, I raise 10. And so they could care less if my donor dinner costs $4,500. They would like to see a couple hundred thousand dollars come out of that. And we achieve that by God's grace. And so they don't care how much I spend. Initially, you know, you get there the first year, and if your development director is asking for the sun, the moon, and the stars, you can say, well, you know, the development director also needs to be patient as he wins over the trust and the confidence of the folks of the board that he serves or the superintendent that he serves. But at this point, I'm finishing up my third year, and God has been very good to us, and he's blessed our efforts. And so when I say, I need $7,000 this month, they'll say, that's fine, because they know it'll come back tenfold, twentyfold, thirtyfold. Again, with God's blessing, the things that Peter was talking about yesterday in regard to annual fund or in regard to sitting down with a donor, and the things that I'm talking about today, and we'll talk about in more detail as I show you some of our samples and we talk about what a case document looks like. All the work that I do is for naught if God doesn't bless it. We pray and we bathe everything in prayer that we do. I can give you lots of plug and chug things here that you need to do, and you're going to come back to me a year from now. You're going to say, well, we were successful, but we weren't successful to the extent that every time we threw a dollar out, we got 10 back. And I'll say, well, okay, and that's what God had for you now. Be faithful in what you're doing. I want to give you some things to do. I'm not going to make any promises in regard to what you're going to get. The board, the parents of the school all need to be praying for the development director and for his efforts, just like they do for the teacher, just like they do for the board, just like they do for everybody else. Another thing with contracts, if you're going to, and I appreciate this about the board at the school that I'm at, I have a salary, like Peter does, and then I have a bonus structure. And the temptation, because I'm the fundraiser, is to make my bonus solely contingent upon how many dollars I bring in. But as you're seeing this morning, there's a lot more that I do for the school. I'm the face of the school to the community. So are students, so is everybody else. But in a very real way, I'm a bigger face because I'm always in front of people, whether it's a Rotary Club, and I have the opportunity to do that. I have the time to do that. They pay me to do these things. And to have my salary solely based on how much I bring in flies against a whole lot of things. He can be doing a very good job representing the school to the community. And in his first year, he's just getting his legs under him. And you had him spend 5 of his first 12 months doing marketing because you weren't really ready for him yet. So don't make it solely based upon that. But make the contract fairly detailed. Not so that it binds him in any way, but so that you know so he knows the expectations that you have for him and so that he can meet them. On how faithfully he's getting, he's raising the level of. I'm sorry. Let me repeat the question. He's asking if it's not based on how much he's bringing in alone, then what else is it based on? It's based on how many. I don't have it up there anymore. I referred to a blank screen. It's based on how many press releases he got in the paper. It's based on how much interest there is in parents and families in the community coming into the school. Suddenly, all your classes are filled. See, I do the school a service in things beyond bricks and mortar and land. I promote the school, and it's hard to put a dollar amount on promoting the school. Now, don't make it sound. And this is the last thing I want to say about contracts because I want to move on here. There's other stuff to get after, but don't create a salary structure for him so that you're paying him $30,000 and he's got 4 kids, but your bonus could be $30,000 or $40,000 more. Don't do that. My bonuses are just that. They're just bonuses, and our family loves them. You can take a vacation with a bonus. You don't buy a car with a bonus, at least the way that it's set up in regard to my contract. But I can talk to you. If you have specific questions about contracts or if you're thinking about calling a development director, you could talk to Peter about some of those things, and you could talk to me about those things as well. Here's another thing. You see under development director, you see number C there. That's where I am. I hope that's where you are as well. I have something there called a campaign steering committee. Let me go back to my situation again. You might not have to have this, but if you're calling a development director in from the outside, like I was, called from Idaho all the way to North Carolina, I arrived there and I didn't know anybody. And nobody knew who I was. And so what I did over the first couple of months as I was implementing a marketing strategy was to ask my superintendent, my boss and my board, I said, give me a couple of really great face men in the community. Men that own their own businesses, men who get in front of a lot of people on a regular basis, guys that are attorneys, real estate developers, a doctor, folks that can bring in big wallets. I need them to be, they're successful at what they do and they love the Lord. They're men of integrity. And who have their kids at the school and who love the school, and they don't need to know the A to Z, the soup to nuts of how the school works, and they don't need to be able to write a thesis on classical and Christian education. That's not, they're busy running successful businesses and doing things for the glory of God there. They don't have to know all those things, but they have to be good representatives of the school. I said, we've got a board of seven members that I sit under, and I want seven men, if we're going to start a capital campaign, if we're going to raise millions of dollars, I said, I need men who can point me to men with wallets. And they'll sit under me, and then I sit under the board, so we're not creating some kind of a structure here that threatens to topple the authority of the board. Men that own their own businesses, men who get in front of a lot of people on a regular basis, guys that are attorneys, real estate developers, a doctor, folks that can bring in big wallets. I need them to be, they're successful at what they do, and they love the Lord. They're men of integrity. And who have their kids at the school, and who love the school, and they don't need to know the A to Z, the soup to nuts of how the school works, and they don't need to be able to write a thesis on classical and Christian education. That's not, they're busy running successful businesses and doing things for the glory of God there. They don't have to know all those things, but they have to be good representatives of the school. I said, we've got a board of seven members that I sit under, and I want seven men, if we're going to start a capital campaign, if we're going to raise millions of dollars, I said, I need men who can point me to men with wallets. And they'll sit under me, and then I sit under the board, so we're not creating some kind of a structure here that threatens to topple the authority of the board. They haven't been doing that as parents. If they've been doing that, they're not going to be on the steering committee because they're not in good standing with the school. And those men help me fill tables at donor dinners. Each one of those men, every year, when I have a donor dinner that we'll talk about a little later, I say, you fill your table. Bring the doctors in your practice. Bring the attorney. And have them come and see. They might not bring their children into the school, but every year these men give away $50,000 or $100,000. Every year they do that. And the question is, do I get a piece of that? The question is, can I, in the time that I'm given, in an hour and a half, we'll talk more about how long it should be a little bit later, but I created a steering committee. Right now, let me back up a little. I created a steering committee to help me be successful, help the school be successful at advancing the vision through dollars in the community. So think a little bit as to who those men might be. They're not necessarily members of a board. A lot of boards bring on people who can advance the school financially, but your board, I'll bet, is more comprised of men who advance the vision or who maintain the vision. That's their job. They weren't hired to the board because they live in million-dollar homes. They were hired because they have a heart for Christian education, and so don't look to your board necessarily to help you do that. Help your board figure out who your steering committee members might be, and then have them assist you just a couple times a year at the golf tournament. When you have your golf tournament, great way to get your face in the community and hire up and get other businessmen to come and play. Everybody loves to play golf in North Carolina, in other states, I suppose, as well. But we have over 100 men that come, and they help make sure that we get 100, 120 guys there. And that's my job after that. I say, thank you for the introduction. You can step aside. I'll take over from here. Or join us for lunch. Like Peter said yesterday, bring that third party in sometimes. Okay. So I've got so I'm hired as development director, Cary Christian School. I've got a steering committee under me. And the next thing that I need to do is to define, and again, some repetition here because Peter talked about some of these groups yesterday. I just want to touch on one of them that we didn't speak so much of. The critical groups that I have, I've got four plates that I need to have spinning all the time. In other words, I need to be cultivating things in all of these groups at the same time. One of them is the parents. The parents are already sold on this school. I invite them to a donor dinner to let them know that they're on my radar screen. But I don't need to talk to them about the school too much because they're already with us. You've got grandparents down in the other corner, and Peter was dead on yesterday. To not be cultivating relationships with grandparents is like shooting yourself in both feet. Because And I'll talk to you a little bit more about how we cultivate them in a second. Another group, local businesses and companies, they're the ones that my steering committee helps me bring into the school. So that's another critical group. And then you've got churches. I'm telling you, because part of my job as a development marketing director is to make sure that we have a healthy number of applications coming into the school. You can't neglect the churches, because you know who a parent goes to when they have a question about how they should educate their children? They go to pastors. They go to other people as well. They go to peers. They go to friends. But if the pastor likes the school, if the pastor likes what's going on there, if he sees that the fruit is good, he's going to endorse the school. Consequently, we have 55 churches that feed our school. 35 of those churches, every church that has an information table, has a brochure rack that has Cary Christian Schools literature in it. And there's a point person, one of our parents, at each one of those churches that reminds me or lets me know whenever that brochure rack gets low, and we fill it up again. Another thing we do is we have Pastor Appreciation Day. Once a year, we bring them in and we cater a lunch. It's a day of an assembly. The tables are all set up at the back. They're sitting there toward the end of lunch at about the time dessert's being served. The fourth graders all come in, all 62 of them, and they do do something that'll knock off the socks off of anybody, and they love to come. They like a free lunch just as much as anybody else. And that's a very simple way of keeping that, it doesn't take very much time to organize a Pastor Appreciation Day. And it certainly doesn't take long, once you've got this up anyway, to go to Staples or Home or Office Depot and buy $3 plastic brochure holders. That's what you have to do. And you hand those out on Pastor Appreciation Day. So, simple stuff for you to remember and to take with you. So those are the critical groups right there. Now, let me talk to you for a second about how you make all this happen. You've got a development director, he's got a steering committee, and your steering committee doesn't need to have 7 people on it. Your steering committee might just have 2 or 3 guys on it. You know, the size of your school, the amount of resources you have is going to determine some of this stuff. And so I might throw out a number there. Well, don't take my number and try and slap it down on your school. Just take the principle. I'll take some of the things that I'm talking about and see how it fits or it doesn't fit into your situation or your school environment. When you click on our website and you click under giving should be, or something close to giving should be one of the menu items, you're going to see that you can go 2 different places. You can go to the annual fund, something that Peter talked about a lot yesterday and described very well. Or you can go to a capital campaign, another thing that Peter spoke of as well. But the annual fund and the capital campaign, as I said yesterday when I took the mic, are 2 very different things. And one of the things that is the responsibility of the development director is to communicate again and again and again, because people don't understand the difference. It's all sort of the same. It's the same face coming to them and asking them for dollars, and they'll say, "I already gave to that," and you'll say, "Well, actually not." And so what we do is we create ways, just simple, even color coding of things that we send out. We create ways for them to help remember what they've given to and what they haven't given to. Every family, like Peter said yesterday, needs to be participating. Grandparents, families need to be participating in the annual fund. Businessmen are not going to participate. You don't want businessmen necessarily participating in the annual fund. You don't even send them a brochure on it. This is for those who are already a part of it, as grandparents or parents. And we create something with lots of happy, smiley faces of children. That always works really well. Lots, as many faces as what you can fit on there. We talk about the annual fund, and people say, "Well, what is the annual fund?" So the first thing you do is describe it. So in there you say, "Each year, Cary Christian School makes an appeal to all parents, grandparents, asking school for its support for our programs through the annual fund. A gift to the annual fund enhances the school's resources and ensures that Cary Christian School students have exceptional opportunities in the areas of academics, athletics, and the arts." So, no bricks and mortar. They know they're not being asked for a tremendous amount of money or a sacrificial gift for the capital campaign. This is to advance what we already have. This is for the pickup truck so that we can better take care, through mulching and seed, all that God's given to us on our 21 acres. Now, we just bought one. We didn't have one. This is for a van so that our students can get to their athletic events. This is for microscopes for the computer lab. Now, you might be saying, "You know what, we actually are operating at a deficit, and our half of the money that is raised for the annual fund is going to go to making up that deficit. Like Peter said yesterday, don't say that. Don't. I mean, you might be going for that, and you're not. And don't lie to your constituents, but don't say that it goes to doing that. Create some sort of eloquent speech and call Peter because he's good at that, and he'll be able to cloak it in some way that it doesn't sound quite so desperate. Right. Right. As a matter of fact, we don't do that. The question is, is it okay to purchase things in advance and then reimburse yourself through the annual fund? We actually don't do that because that to me is sort of presuming upon God. I don't know how much we're going to get. Larry budgeted $10,000 for the annual fund this year because he didn't. It's only the third year we've had it. We raised $68,000 in the annual fund this year, again by God's grace. And so he started making purchases in April when he looked and he said, "Oh my goodness!" He said, "There's over $40,000 in there." And I said, "Yeah, and we're going to appeal one more time as well," and we got it to that $68,000 mark. But he doesn't spend it before he has it. As a matter of fact, but our school's different again. We have $3.5 million coming in tuition. This fall, we're going to have 678 students, I believe, right now, coming into our school. And so I'm expecting, I had a goal of $75,000 for the annual fund and well over, between half and three quarters of $1 million to the capital campaign. You're not... and that's without any gift out of the blue for $1 million or something like that. That's just through faithful meeting with people. That's not what you're. That's not how we started 3 years ago. Our first year in the annual fund, no one knew what it was. The school was 7 years old, and we'd never had an annual fund before. And I said, "Oh my goodness!" I said, "We really are starting from the beginning here with this school in many respects." And people said, "Now what is it?" And I said, "Every school has an annual fund, whether it's Christian school, and every private school has an annual fund." Any school that's not funded by the government has an annual fund. We weren't creating a wheel here. All we were doing was applying that which everybody else does, and we were woefully lacking in. And they need to get in the habit of doing that. Like Peter said yesterday, every year we have the annual fund.